Hello and welcome in to another episode of Podcast 63. We have some super fun guests on this episode. Basketball professional experts of all things sports. My parents, mom and dad, why don't you guys say hi?
Hey, good evening.
You said hi to me? I'm right here. but yeah, so it's going to be a little different. Lou is unfortunately unable to come to the podcast. He's up in the rafters. He's just taking a little snooze, especially after the game we had today. So make sure to stay tuned. Don't turn off that podcast. And remember, go Blurs.
He jumps. He passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots off the rim. Ralph gets it, scores. It's over. It's over. We won. We won the ball game. Viola won the ball game. Oh, we won. 60-58.
And welcome back. So we're going to start off with an unfortunate bit of news here. This past week, we had the chair of our board of trustees pass away. Bob Parkinson graduated from Loyola in 1973 and then again in 1975. He was on the board of trustees. Originally was elected in 05, and then, like I said, he was the chair as of June of 2013. He was always a big fan of all the sports programs at Loyola. He was one of the biggest cheerleaders on the sidelines and one of the biggest influencers within the university. And we just want to make sure to mention his unfortunate passing, but also to honor him as someone that was a very important person of our Loyola community. In the article that Loyola posted about him, it mentioned that Bob's career and his life exemplified our Jesuit ideals of service to others. And so to Bob's family and everyone who might have met him, we just want to extend our deepest condolences to Bob and his family. But other than that, we do have a couple basketball games to talk about. Both of my parents were at the most recent game, so why don't we start there? We usually do them in order, but I figure you guys are here. It's on your minds. It was a very tight game, a very close fight, back and forth, up and down, left and right, on the floor, up in the air. It was a very entertaining game and at times a little wild, but I think our team had a good fight. Just get your quick opinions, both of you. Mom, why don't we start off with you? Mom, I know you're not the biggest basketball expert.
Oh, gosh, no.
But you have watched me play a lot of basketball.
I have.
In my heyday.
I have.
Back in freshman year of high school when I was on the B team.
In grade school.
Yeah, from my grade school to, junior high as well. But so, Mom, what are your perspectives from the game? And it doesn't necessarily have to be about the actual play on the court.
Yeah, because that part isn't one of my strengths.
No, but what did you like?
I just really like going to the game. I love the opening with Sister Jean, the pomp and circumstance.
We love Sister Jean here.
Yeah, she is she's just so iconic, and people know her everywhere. So she always gives a comical and spiritual blessing and she's fun. She's a sweetheart. So that's fun. And then I like all the pomp and circumstance. I like the singing of the national anthem. I like all the different marketing and ads with all the players, and it's just fun. It's just fun to be there. The circus part of it is just fun. It's what I enjoy. And then of course I enjoy being with you and your dad. Mm-hmm. So to me it's an event because of that, and if they win, it's a bonus. And it did appear that they fought hard, and you know, I don't know half the things you were yelling at the ref.
I was yelling almost every play.
So you know, I thought, you know, okay, I'll let you take over because I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But no, it's just fun to be there. It's fun to be there and hang out.
Were there any players that you liked? Like, did they do anything cool that you thought, or maybe anything like athletic or? Can you remember any of them, or just their number, or what they look like? I can fill in.
You know, some of those, you know, Kartwig, and I probably won't even say his name right. He's really good. He's fun to watch. It's just fun to watch their athleticism and you know how, and both sides. I mean, the other side had some good players too.
Mm-hmm, so they
did. It's an enjoyable thing. They're, you know, young and healthy and having a good time out there and hoping that, you know, they bring another W for their team. But So yeah, nobody in particular. And okay. You know, the cheerleaders are great. The dancers are great. The guys spinning the tunes. I mean, it's just it's a group effort, and it's an enjoyable night. As we saw the gentleman next to us who brought his probably 18-month-old to his first game tonight. It's a family thing. It can be a lot of fun. And they reach out to the community at halftime. Mm. They had a group of youngsters from Pilsen who were with, I think it's called ABC Academy.
And, yeah, it's like a little grade school basketball
league. Yeah,
a little
league for basketball. And that was cute. So I just like all that whole wholesome kind of feeling. It feels good. It's a good thing to do.
Yeah, I think also you mentioned a little bit earlier how both teams were very athletic, and I think there's something to that. I you know, a little segue here, but like talking about Davidson was a really good basketball team. You guys picked a good game to come to because this Davidson team was ranked in the top 25 coming into the season. They had a couple guys go down with injuries, kind of like Loyola did earlier in the season with Cooper Kyphus, and then, you know, we've been dealing with injuries of our own. And it was a really good battle. It's kind of exactly what I expected. So, but all the pomp and circumstance is really good. They've definitely upped that in the past couple years. Just I think with the influx of money from the Final Four. And I like that you mentioned the videos too, because those have definitely gotten a lot better in the past couple years too. They have there was a really cute ticketing ad, just a Merry Christmas advertisement. And they never used to do that. So it's really cute. I think that definitely attracts more fans, a different type of fan than your big basketball fan. I'm glad you enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's lively. It's lively. Yeah, there's no downtime.
Yeah. So, Dad, I'm going to introduce you a little differently because I know that you are a big basketball fan. Why don't you tell people, I know you coached for some years. So why don't you tell people your basketball experience, maybe, I don't know, one of your favorite basketball players of all time, and maybe your favorite basketball player on the Loyola team right now. That's a lot. Do you get that?
Oh, I got it.
So your experience first.
Most of my coaching has been in the grade school level. I coached for probably 25 years or more, and it was just fun, you know, coaching the younger kids, making sure that they could improve their skills to advance up into high school. So that was our goal as a coach, as a grade school level.
Mm-hmm. Who was one of your favorite basketball players of all time?
I really enjoyed watching Michael Jordan. I was very
fortunate. Oh, come on. That's such a cop-out.
I know. Fortunate enough to be able to watch all his games. I was in Chicago during the entire...
his reign.
Yeah. He won 6 championships and took a time off and came back and won... more. So it was just very enjoyable with him and Scottie Pippen. And now I do like to watch LeBron James.
Yes, yes, yes.
Very controversial, especially in Chicago.
But he's definitely a team ball player, just like Michael was. So yeah, those were two of my top.
I know players. We can't mention LeBron James without my mom chiming in here. Why don't you tell all the listeners?
Okay. Just a short spiel. Me,
you would have done it if I wouldn't have said it.
I would have. I was just waiting for the opportunity. Okay. Growing up in Akron, Ohio, going to St. Vincent's School. He is now going to my school. But yeah, no, they were talking about him from the time he was in 8th grade, and knowing what was the greatness that was coming. So, and he's just such a humanitarian for all the kids in Akron,
especially
and Akron schools.
Yeah.
And yeah, he does an amazing job with his I Promise school. Mm-hmm. So he makes everybody proud that's from there. And he is just a kid from Akron. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to watch him because of that.
So this is a Loyola podcast. So Dad, who's your favorite current Loyola basketball, or in, you know, the past couple of years that I've been at the school, who's your favorite Loyola player to watch?
Pretty much Crutwig. Yeah.
Okay.
Even though I don't know his name,
that's okay.
Pronounce it, but
big old Cam.
Yeah, he's played like I did in high school, and I enjoyed watching him banging around inside. And really, is a team ball player. Doesn't like to score. I mean, he scores, but doesn't really have to have the ball. Mm-hmm. If he has the ball, he can a lot of assists. Just I think a couple of games ago, he had a triple-double.
I was going to say, Dad, in your high school, did you ever have a triple-double? You said
but
Cam Crowley.
I scored 30 points once.
Okay.
I called it a triple.
Far more than I scored in my high school days. So
So, yeah, he's very enjoyable to watch. I do keep an eye on him on the court. And then I like their new freshman guard.
Marquise Kennedy.
He's a big fan. He's very flashy. He gets a little wild out there, but he hit some really nice moves and put him back in the game. And
had a big three towards the end of the game.
And then there are some of those other, forwards, shooting forwards that you have that have, what was his name?
Tate Hall.
Yeah. He had some really nice shots.
I think I need a roster for you.
Yeah,
like,
you
I should have printed out. I didn't do my...
I'm lucky if I remember your name.
I didn't do... that's a whole nother story. I didn't do my due diligence as a podcast host. I should have printed out rosters and stats and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I'm trying to save the planet here, so... So then to the game, Dad, what were some of your takeaways from the game? Maybe, did you think Loyola was going to win? What did anything surprise you? Anything like that?
There was one time in the first half that it was just, I think we even all talked about it, 5 minutes that neither team scored. And that was a time that I thought that maybe Loyola would be able to pull away there. Mm-hmm. And it was 17-17 for such a long period of time.
It was.
And that would have been, it wasn't a turning point for either team. It could have been.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they got into the second half, it was still really close. The entire game, I think Loyola was up by 6 or 8.
I think they went up 8 or 9. Yeah.
Was it 9?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was 9. And then they had this one gentleman, Davidson's, that shot the lights out at the second half.
Last name Lee. I'm not even going to bother trying to pronounce his first name.
No, Lee's easier.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. I think he's from South Korea, I think I saw.
Then he hit a couple threes when Loyola was trying to pull away even more. And he got him back in the game. And then this other, number 31, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Grady. I believe the guard.
So that's what got him back in the game, and then they took the lead with a three. So, but it all came down to the last possession, and Loyola had their chance.
Had two chances. They were down one, and Keith Clemens had a wide open, well, not wide open, a good look in the corner.
Yeah.
And then the last possession, they were down three with 8 seconds left, and Tate Hall had a, although deep, an open look for three, and neither of them fell down. But it was a good game, yeah.
It was hard luck.
A good game.
Yes, it was. It was like all the way down to the last second.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have won it, but they didn't make the shot. That's what mattered.
Yeah, Loyola did go into halftime with a lead. It was 25-23. I would say the story of the first half was definitely the defense. Like you said, it was tied 17-17 for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Cam really didn't have a great offensive game. He only made 2 shots, and then he did have 4 free throws. Cam did finish with 8 points and 11 rebounds, so Lou will unfortunately not be happy because his guy Cam didn't get the double-double. Some of the other guys that looked really good, at least offensively, Marquise Kennedy, like you mentioned earlier, he did finish with 13 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists, and he hit 2 big 3-pointers, one in the first and one in the second half, and he was called upon to play a lot of minutes because Lucas Williamson went down with what looked to be an ankle injury. After the game, Coach Porter did say that they were going to reevaluate him in a couple days, which means we'll probably find out a little bit more after Christmas. But hopefully nothing too serious with Lucas there, because he is very important to this team, especially defensively. So Loyola went into halftime with a 2-point lead, and we were really hoping someone would step up and start scoring the basketball somewhat consistently. And the one who did start to score very consistently was Tate Hall. Tate Hall, I think, had 7 or 8 of the first Loyola points in the second half. He looked like he was really picking it up. He hit a 3-pointer. He had a really nice layup. He had some free throws. And then he unfortunately got into foul trouble. I think
he was out probably 8 minutes.
Yeah, he got his fourth foul with like 10 minutes or 12 minutes to go in the second half.
Yeah.
So they had to take him out. So for a good bulk of the game, Lucas only played 10 minutes. So we missed potentially 25 to 30 minutes of Lucas playing, And then Tate Hall was also out 10 minutes. And there were some guys that got minutes that aren't used to playing that much. Namely, Marquise Kennedy was playing a lot. Tom Welch, the backup big, came in and did okay.
He had some good play.
There was one.
In charge. And...
Yeah, do you want to talk about, there was one time where he came in, I think we looked at each other when he came in just for 30 seconds. Their big guy, Davidson's big guy, who is, I don't know, Brockovich or something.
Yeah.
And, yeah, tell him about that possession when he had to play defense. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, he just hung all over him. He didn't allow him to move at all. Played a great defensive. Kept him away from the basket. And he was, the height difference was quite a bit.
Yeah, probably three, four inches.
This guy has long arms, the Davidson player. And it was, the guy did an excellent job. Kept him, and they Loyola got the ball back.
He stopped him twice because he got his own rebound.
Yeah.
And then Welch had to defend him twice. So, it really got...
That was a good possession. That kept him away from the basket, you know, and then they were able to go back down and score, I'm pretty sure. And
yeah.
That was when they were up quite a bit.
I was really surprised with how some of the guys who don't typically get a lot of minutes were playing with, it seemed like, just two of the starters at times, and Krutwig and Clemens.
Yeah,
and they really hung with Davidson. Davidson's a good team. Davidson has struggled a little bit early in the year, but I think they're going to put it together. They have a lot of really good scorers. They have a lot of height and length, which really bothered some of our players. It was a battle. It was a battle, and unfortunately, we did not pull it out.
They had some untimely turnovers.
I was just looking at that. I was a little surprised. I thought they had more than this, but Loyola only had 13 turnovers, which isn't terrible. But
only in the second half, though.
I think like 8 of them. I think I looked at halftime and they had 5. Davidson only had 12, so it was a close battle. But like you said, I think some untimely ones, and Krutwig had 5 turnovers himself, which is kind of a lot. But
he's got to minimize his dribbling.
He does, and I thought with Keith Clemens being our starting point guard, that would minimize some of his turnovers. And in this game, I think with two of our guys being out such a long time, the ball just ended up being in Krutwig's hands more than it has been in the past few games.
Yep.
So, I don't know. It was a battle. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a very exciting game.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely thought that they had a really good chance there at the end. I don't think that this necessarily... It should be looked at as like a summary of the team as a whole. I think that there was a lot of really good things you could take out of this game. I think that Keith Clemens was a very good point guard. He's someone that is really nice to have, such a true point guard on this team. They really need that. They need someone who can facilitate the ball and also look for himself. Keith Clemens finished with 11 points. I believe that's the highest he scored this season, unless he might have scored 13 the first game that he played. He had 2 assists and a steal. Unfortunately, did not hit that 3-pointer towards the end of the game that would have put us up by 2, but he did play really well. Tate Hall finished with 11, which would have loved to see a little bit more from him. We know he's capable of more, but it was that foul trouble that was so tough. And then... Ahir Ugwak did have 5 points, 2 rebounds. He had 4 assists and 2 steals. He played a pretty okay game. I'm usually really tough on him because I think he's capable of so much more. But, Mom, I know you actually mentioned like halfway through the first half. I think it was when they were on that scoring drought when no team scored for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And you looked over at me and you said, they need to put Ahir back in the game, or Ugwak. What did you like from him? Like it was surprising because you haven't seen like the whole season. So
right.
You just saw him playing
right.
for like 5 or 10 minutes and he looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So did you like, what did you like about him?
He just kind of seems like a catalyst. I don't know a lot about the game, but
no, that's
he
fine.
Seems to be in the center of things and he's moving the ball around and he's an energy that,
mm-hmm.
that I noticed that wasn't there for that short time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's key to that.
He was, yeah. I think he did have one of his better games. It might not show up so much in the stat books, but I thought his length and height and athleticism was really necessary against a team like Davidson, who is also a mid-major team, but they have a lot of talent and skill and length that a lot of the teams that we play don't have. So I thought he did play very well. And it was really interesting that you picked up on that because
I don't pick up on a lot.
Yeah, well, no, that's not necessarily, but it's just interesting because you guys are seeing, you know, you don't watch all the games, so right. You guys are seeing like a little snippet of it. Mm-hmm. And it's true, players can play well for a short period of time, and it can be very instrumental. And so I think the reason why I mentioned that is because that's who we want, like who I want and Lou wants. Here to be is that catalyst, is that guy mm-hmm. who's coming in, maybe not playing the whole game, but short bursts, going up, getting rebounds, making athletic plays, making athletic shots, playing good defense. And I think he did that today. I would have loved to see him finish a couple more of his shots. He did miss a couple, two layups, I think. Both were pretty contested, but I did like his game. And I think that that's a building block for him. Especially going into conference play. The guys he'll see in conference play aren't as athletic and lengthy as some of the guys we've seen so far in the season. So hopefully he can really capitalize on that and build off of this game, because I do think I think he played pretty well for what he was asked to do. He's not going to be the guy that scores you 20 points a game, but hopefully he can finish those shots around the rim. As for Davidson, they really were just led by two different guys. Two guys that had 16 and 19 points. And the guy that did score 19 points for them was coming off the bench. And up until this point, he was only averaging 7 points a game. So it's really, really a bummer to see them lose because of a guy who is only scoring 7 points a game, and he scored 19. So, really rough, I think, in that regard. I would have loved, you know, if one of their better players beat us, then you kind of take that and mm-hmm. you go with it. But maybe just something that didn't show up in the scouting report or didn't show up in their research because he hasn't done it yet. I don't know. I think...
They're free throws.
Yeah.
Loyola wasn't... I think they hit maybe two-thirds of their...
Actually, exactly. They yeah. were 12 of 18.
And that's not good.
No, Davidson was 6 of 7.
Yeah, they lost on the free throw line, too, you could say.
They did, yeah. If they would have hit even half of those, it would have been a tie game.
No.
Hey, Andrew, I didn't hear you talk about the couple times you jumped up and you wanted them to look at the monitor again.
Oh, yeah, that's a good call. So there was about a minute, I think, left.
47 seconds.
Yeah, under a minute left in the game. And there was a fast break. It was chaos for like 5 or 10 seconds. Loose ball. Everyone's jumping. Everyone's diving. Davidson got control of the ball, and they threw a long pass down the court to one of the other Davidson players. And both guys I think it was Pipkins maybe, or Loyola defender and the Davidson player both went for the ball, and it went out of bounds. And I don't know if it was off Davidson. I thought it was, but the call was that it was off Loyola. And I just don't understand how they wouldn't have gone to review the ball or review the play. If it was in the middle of the game, I would kind of understand, you know, the flow of the game and all that. But with under a minute to go, I thought that anything close got reviewed. So yeah. That was really frustrating for me. I would have loved to just know one way or the other. I don't think anyone. It was a really difficult call. So I'm not like saying that the referee didn't make the right call. I'm not saying that his job isn't hard, but make it easier on yourself and just go look at it in slow motion. And especially with such an important call, I think Loyola was down one at that time, maybe, or something like that. It was really close.
It was a close game.
Yeah, so that was really frustrating for me as a fan sitting right next to that play happening. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that happened during the game that was noteworthy.
Hall's fourth foul.
Right, yeah, another...
loose ball foul was, you know, he did crash into the guy, but it was a loose ball dive. And
another chaotic situation, loose ball, guys diving all over the place. And it was like the fourth or fifth carom of guys diving, ball comes up, ball goes back down, no one can control it, under his legs, through his arm. Like, it's just like the ball was everywhere, bodies were on the floor, and then... all of a sudden, there's a foul, and of course, it goes against Tate Hall, the one guy that we pretty much couldn't afford it to go against. It probably was a foul, but yeah. I also think that there was three fouls before that. So that was frustrating too. I feel bad for Tate Hall because I think he was really picking it up in the second half. I think he had just maybe made another basket, and then to lose him for such a significant amount of time when we already had Lucas Williamson out. It was a really gutsy game. I think a lot of guys are going to take some positives away from it. I think it's a good building block. I really would have loved to see Cam get some more shots up, but I know that they defended him really well. So I think overall, it was a fun game. One that we would have really liked to win.
Yeah, I think it was a great game to end their non-conference before they go into conference. I believe that's the case.
It is, so, yeah.
Heading into their conference play, that will be a really good... they had a really good challenge, and they played up to it.
A little kick in their tail to kind of... I think they knew all along that they would have to do well in the conference season in order to get a postseason tournament.
After their slow start
of the season. Yeah. A couple bad losses, but I think now more than ever, now they know.
I think it's their conference, too. Their conference is a small conference, and the only way you're going to get into the NCAA tournament would be by winning the conference.
For sure.
Unless they go 30 and whatever.
Yeah, like they win every single game and just lose in the conference tournament, in the championship.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably not even then.
So. No. What did you guys think of the atmosphere, like fans and stuff?
It was a great turnout for this couple days before Christmas. Mm-hmm. I was shocked that there was many people. And there was a lot of people there for Davison, too. I mean, that was an eye-opener. But, for this time of year and a Sunday afternoon and people are shopping and going to Christmas parties. So they had a great turnout. I would never have known, any different. It was any different time than it was. So, no, it was a really good turnout.
I think I saw there was like 3,000 people there, and the stadium seats like 4,800. Oh,
okay. Yeah, because there's no students. There was none of the kids were here. So that was strictly, people who made a conscious effort to go there and bought tickets and, wanted to be there. So, definitely. It's a good turnout.
Yeah, I know a lot of schools that I actually overheard, I think when we were eating dinner, there was a couple Davidson people talking, and the guy was like, oh, it's super cool to go to this game because Davidson never plays in Chicago. Ooh. So a lot of schools, when they play us, they have their alumni events because they know that Chicago is such a hub for, whatever, recent graduates or whoever. Right. So it is cool. It's a little frustrating as a fan, but it's cool. It's fun to... I'd rather have bodies in seats than not.
Yeah, it just seemed like there was too many of them behind us.
There was. Yeah, next to us. Yeah,
we were in the hot spot, but... Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. And they did have a couple times when Davidson cheered for... They were chanting defense, and you could hear it. So I think Loyola fans need to be a little better about going to games and cheering a little louder next time. So that was a Davidson game. Do either of you have any last thoughts about anything regarding your experience?
I think maybe Sister Jean could get a novena going, we could get into those playoffs and win. So I'm going to put that challenge out there. If Sister Jean hears this, we need to start a novena.
Okay. I think it's a good challenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
If anyone sees Sister Jean... Tell her that I'm Podcast 63 called her out.
Yep.
Dad, what'd you... Any final thoughts?
No, it was just a very... It was a fun time at the game. And Andrew, thanks for the tickets.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah.
It was our Christmas present.
Yeah.
It was a great Christmas present. Yeah.
What better Christmas present than bringing your parents to a Blurs game?
Yep. It was fun.
We even got new scarves.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we got our Blur scarf.
We did. Official. Andrew. You guys are official fans now. You're baptized into the...
Still, yes.
Also, I think it's funny, you guys are calling me Andrew, which is obviously my name, but in the podcast, I've just been going by Buck the whole time. Now I'm exposed. If anyone... I think I always tweet from my personal account, too, about the podcast, so I'm sure everyone knows, but officially exposed. So,
we have two Bucks here. We have the original Buck, and then we have you, the young Buck.
Yes. Yes. Buck squared.
Yeah, Buck squared.
But I think that's going to wrap up the portion on the Davidson game, which we did drop 59-56. After the break here, we're going to talk a little bit about the Vanderbilt game, and it'll just mostly be me because, you know, neither of my parents were at the game or watched it, but I'll get your feedback. I want to talk a little bit about Cam Krautwig's triple-double, and then we'll just talk about the game. So stick with us. Go Blairs.
I have all my heart. I'm the number one biggest Marquise Kennedy fan. Number one biggest Marquise Kennedy fan.
So I think Marquise Kennedy for me is just it's super fun to watch him play. It's super fun to watch him play. Watch him play. And welcome back. So the other game of the week was a bit of a better finish. Loyola went out to Phoenix, Arizona. To play a game in the Basketball Hall of Fame Showcase, which I've never heard of that before, but there was apparently a few other games. It took on Vanderbilt, who is a member of the SEC Conference, and they won. They won 78-70. The most notable thing was Cameron Krutwig's first career triple-double. He flirted with one earlier in the season against UC Davis. I think he came up a rebound short, actually. But in the final seconds of the game, he secured his 10th rebound and finished the game with 22 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists. Some other notable stat lines, Tate Hall finished the game with 16 points, and then Marquise Kennedy came off the bench to score 11 points in 15 minutes, so he had a nice game. And then Keith Clemens had 8 points, Jalen Pipkins had 7. And overall, just, you know, a lot of guys got into the game and had a really good impact. It was a fun one. I think at the beginning of the season, Lou and I were talking about the Vanderbilt and Davidson games being a very good measure of how this team was going to fare going into conference season. And I think winning one of these games was absolutely crucial. And how we saw the second game end, in addition to winning this game, I think there's good things to come. I don't know if we would have blown both these teams out. I probably would have been sitting here and saying, you know, oh, we're going to win the conference. We're going to win the tournament and go on. And I don't know. I don't know if we're going to do that. But I do think that there's a lot of hope for this team continuing to grow together, continuing to improve, and continuing to play a really fun game of basketball. I think if you had asked me right now, I definitely think they're in the top three of the conference. And I think anything can happen. The Missouri Valley Conference as a whole is quite a mix-up right now. But Loyola also did a really good job playing defense on Vanderbilt, who was coming off a game, I think, where they scored nearly like 90 points. They scored 90 points beating Buffalo. So it was a fun game. I watched a lot of it. It was very stressful. They came out on top. So Dad, I called you right after the game to tell you about the triple double. And it was kind of funny. I called you up and I said, hey, guess what Cameron Krautwig's stat line was? And I think you said what?
10-10-10.
So he called it before I could even tell him, which ruined the news. But how impressive do you think a triple-double in a college basketball game is coming against an SEC team playing 36 minutes? Like, it's pretty impressive, right?
Yeah, especially for his position. He's a big guy in the middle, and not too many times you get 10 assists coming off your center or your post-up man. And he did an incredible job to be able to do that. Plus 22 points, you know, you're passing off the ball that many times and also still scoring 22 points. Yes, it's doesn't see the ball that much. Must have saw it a lot, though, that game. He definitely showed him that he can do it. So hopefully, moving forward, he'll have the similar games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was actually, I know right after the game, they said that some of the reporters were saying that Loyola said it was like the first in triple-double in 30 years. And then someone, but they couldn't confirm that because they didn't have stats on hand that go back farther than that. And then someone, I think the Loyola statistician went back and looked, and it was, in fact, the first career triple-double in Loyola men's basketball history.
That's a very impressive.
Wow. Yeah, no one has ever done it before.
That's great.
And then I think this year in all of college basketball, there's only been 11 triple-doubles. Krutwig is one of two centers to have done it this year, and he's the only one this year in all of college basketball to do it with points, rebounds, and assists. I think someone else might have done it with like points, blocks, rebounds, and blocks or steals, maybe. Probably blocks. But yeah, I think I looked it up earlier in the season when Krutwig almost got one. And I think last year there was around like 40 total triple-doubles in all of college basketball. So it's not common, and a lot, I know in the NBA, there's a lot of different players that end up, you know, LeBron gets triple doubles. There's other play, Russell Westbrook, and it's not common, but you know, it seems like every other game, there's someone that has a triple double. So it's very uncommon when you think about how many total basketball games, you know, there's 353 teams and they all play 30 games. So, there's a bunch more games and it happens way, less frequently. So it was really, really fun to see. I'm really happy for him. I think it even got a little bit of coverage on ESPN because he got a triple-double. So only good things to come from this game. I was really impressed. I went back and watched a bit of the game with Marquise Kennedy. He going into the second half, and I think right at the beginning of the second, going into halftime, and then also in the beginning of the second half, he had three or four really nice layups to the hoop and got fouled. And I think going from this game where he scored 11 points and then to the Davidson game today where he scored 13 points, I think he's really trending up and making the most of his time playing. So I'm really excited to see him
moving forward.
Yeah, nice. I think. Especially, I mean, in years to come, you know, in the future years to come, but also this season. I think that his role has been mixed. He started the season as a starter, and then when Keith Clemens came back, he went to the bench. And there was a couple games right after he stopped starting where he didn't play as much. He got hurt in one of the games, so he got taken out. And then I think just these past two or three games, he's really picked it up. I think he's found his role. And I think he's more confident. I think he's taking good shots. Today I was telling you, in the game against Davidson, he had one play where he drove to the hoop, got two guys to close on him, and then passed it off to Clemens for a nice layup. And earlier in the season, he would have taken that shot 10 out of 10 times. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to see him continue to grow as a player. Just a really big win. I think this is our most impressive win so far this season is over Vanderbilt. On a neutral floor, which is not easy to do. It's always easier to win on your home court. I think the rest of the season, we'll all be Vanderbilt fans because Vanderbilt plays Davidson on the 30th, which is kind of funny that these two teams will face off. It'll be really interesting to see who wins that game. But we always want the teams that we beat to continue to do well so that it looks better for Loyola.
Yeah.
So I think as far as the Vanderbilt game goes, I'm sure when Lou gets back on the podcast, he'll want to talk about it too, but, I think that's going to wrap up that game. I have a little game for you guys to play. I hope you guys have been listening. Have you been listening?
Yeah, I think I have.
Just today? Or, you know, you've been all blurred out all day. You know, we got to the stadium at 1 o'clock.
Getting blurry.
And, you know, you've been all blurred all the time, but a little bit more.
Okay.
So I want you guys to go back and forth and name Loyola players. Whoever can come up with the most Loyola player, individual players. But you have to say them right, because earlier we had my dad calling Krutwig Crudgewidge.
Okay, Krutwig. I got the first one.
I was going to give you the...
And Tate.
Whoa. You're calling him something by another name. So, it can be past or present, so it can be any of the ones, you know, maybe in the Final Four that you saw.
Do I have to say both names, first of
all?
Can I just get one of their two names? I can't do both.
I think you get a bonus point. If you can name both the first and last, you get a bonus point.
Okay.
You know, we need some, like, Jeopardy music. I think.
It won't take very long. Mom's first.
Okay. So, like, one at a time or just keep
yeah,
going?
Yeah, one at a time because then you go back and forth. So,
well, the obvious, Crowick.
Can you get his first name?
Malcolm.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, no. I'm so sorry. So Cameron Crotway.
I'm going to steal from mom.
No.
Tate not. Paul.
Okay, so 2-1. Oh, no, mother.
I was just making a joke, but then it got funny.
A joke was funny.
It's Cameron.
It is. Okay, so okay. It's 2-1, mother.
And then the other guy that I know is Marcus Kennedy.
Okay, it's Marquise, but I'll give Marquise. It to you. It's good. I think it's good Ooh. Enough. 3-2.
Okay.
Ubach.
Oh no! Come on, you get three chances at the Ubach. When you get three chances at one name.
Ubach. That's all.
No, oh. It is. I hear like Ugwak.
Oh,
that's a tough. That was.
Oh, well, why didn't you do it then?
All right, give me half.
No, 0. It's 3-2. Mama's winning.
Okay,
Mom.
Scotty Pippen.
No, come on! No, no.
It's Pipkins.
Oh, they got it. Yeah. Good job. Do you know his first name?
Taylor.
Oh, no. Jalen.
She's
Jalen.
A lot better than me.
That's good. 4-2. Good job.
Wait, what is his first name?
Really? Jalen. Jalen Pipkins. Jalen. J-A-L-O-N.
They never said it right, though. I always
they will
that.
When they cheer, it's like, Jalen.
Yeah, right.
So
I
it's
could
like
never
hard
make it
to,
out.
It's kind of hard to figure
it
out. Okay, 4-2. Dad.
Skova.
Oh, come on. You can do it. It's not it.
Scovey?
I feel like there's so many easier ones than like the ones you guys are going for. I'm really surprised. What about, okay, you got one more chance at this
Mom
guy's
got
name.
Pipkin. That was pretty good.
You still don't know it. It's Pipkins.
Oh, Pipkins. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, wait. Dad, you got one more shot at that guy's name.
Skovo.
So close. Bruno.
Bruno.
Skoke. Nah.
Oh, I was close.
No.
Tell the guy that
you got
his name.
Ass. Okay, my 4-2 still.
Okay, the team chaplain is Sister
no,
Jean.
No. They have to be male. What about like past players? You guys know any of the ones that might have hit big shots in the final? You know, like the run or.
Well, there was this one guy, but I can't remember.
Remember, I'll give you each one hint. Mom, this is your hint. Remember. Okay. When we were at a basketball game, when I was like a sophomore, I think, or maybe a freshman, or maybe even before that, and we sat next to the mother.
I remember talking to her.
Of
yeah.
this, of
I
this
remember
player.
Talking to her. No, I don't. But I do remember her. I remember what her son looks like.
Okay. Do you have any? You don't have any guesses of
no.
anymore? Oh no, Mom.
Williams.
Okay. No.
There's no Williams.
No, there's not. I said his name like 18 times just on this podcast alone. We can't end 4-2. Someone has to get more points.
Mom won.
No, it's not over. Keep going. Come on. You got 2 more shots at his name. I'm saying it's close, but it's not Williams. You're missing.
Williamson.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know his first name?
Chucky.
Lucas.
Lucas. Oh, my God.
Williamson. So it's 4-3. Mom, have you had any epiphanies?
I'm trying
maybe...
to visualize their back of their jersey.
Okay, but like I've talked about them on this podcast. There's like at least 3 other guys that I've. No, no cheating. No,
it's a funny one.
What? Oh no, I'm gonna have to entertain while they're whispering.
Sam.
No. Oh my.
No, I don't know his name. I forget.
How about the kid that went to St. Francis?
Oh, no. He played volleyball, mother. Jeff Gendrick. You get
I knew Jeff
negative Gendrick. 1 points for that. No.
Uncle, I have no more. I don't know.
There's got to be a Joe Smith on the team.
No, but
there was a Jones. There was a Jones.
On the other team.
Two of them on the other team.
Oops.
Okay, I think
hold on.
I think we better quit where
we're at. 4-3.
Oh, no. What about...
Williamson?
You and my dad's had that one.
Oh, that's why I remembered it.
Uh-huh. What about the backup
with?
Big guy? If you can get...
yeah, if we get that, no way.
What about... I always call him, he has a nickname, and it's like an adjective and then his first name.
The goat?
No. There's no goats on the team.
That's what they call LeBron.
There's no way you're going to pronounce that last name.
No, that's not saying his first name. Okay, what about past Loyola players? Come on, there's like two guys that won the Player of the Year back-to-back times, past 2 years. White guy and a black guy. One's a current coach on the team. Can either of you name the head coach? Hold on. Raise your hand if you can name the head coach.
He's from Naperville?
No, 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 his name.
I'm thinking.
If you can, raise your hand.
Do you see us? We're not raising your hand.
Oh, no.
I was thinking it was Mueller, but it's not.
No. Oh,
his family owns a lumber yard.
Come on. This is so cringeworthy.
We didn't study.
Okay, I'm going to give you the first initial of his first name and you the first initial of his last name. But I feel like if I give either one of you the first initial, you'll probably get the whole thing.
Okay, okay.
Mom, his first name begins with a P.
I don't know.
Where do ships go when they dock?
Piers.
No.
Porter.
Moser.
See, they owned a lumber yard.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh my gosh. Does anyone know the final score?
5-4, man.
0-0. You guys both lose. No one wins, not even me, and definitely not the listeners.
Yeah, sure.
Oh my gosh.
I bet most of their moms and dads would do the same thing.
Do you wanna see how many I can get?
No, you already
won.
I didn't see any. Oh man.
You know them all. You better know them all.
I do. There's some other fan favorites. Milton Doyle was the one, the mother that we were sitting next to. Birdie is his mother's name.
Yes, she was a nice lady.
Previous Loyola Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Years include Clayton Custer.
Okay.
Yeah. And Marcus Towns.
You could have given us a clue.
I told you, Player of the Year. Yeah, one white and one
like
black.
Like some historical thing. Like,
he was the Missouri Valley, and now he's like a coach.
Custer's last stand or something.
His last stand.
I could have, but I don't want to put these listeners through any more misery. You could have
closed this caption.
You could have said Keith Clemens, who, Dad, I thought you liked.
I did. I yelled his name a couple times.
Big Frank. Frank Agunani.
Oh, Frank.
Big Frank.
I thought his name was Chuck.
No. Tom Welch, Paxson Wojcik. Oh, I know. Now you think. Okay,
he was trying to see if you knew him.
I was wondering if I could see him on their jerseys. I guess I couldn't.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I can even name the walk-ons if you want me to. But I don't think anyone does. So,
no.
Thank you both.
They would.
Okay, Sami Ismail, Will Alcock, and Jake Bauman.
Shout out to them.
They're great. They're great guys. Well, thank you both for talking to people on my podcast.
This was fun because no one can talk back to us.
That's true. They got to listen no matter what. And
poor people.
I'm usually do talk back. So
the phones are ringing though.
They are. So many questions. So many people calling in. Yes, hello. Oh, you're angry that my parents couldn't name more than 3 basketball players? I know, me too. Cool. Well, seriously though, thank you. It was super fun. I hope the listeners liked it.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to drink any hot sauce, so it's cool.
That's true. Maybe that's next year.
Yeah, no.
Hot Ones Parents Edition. Where my mom doesn't eat any hot wings and instead just asks questions.
I won't even drink tomato juice, so there you go.
Oh boy. But I think your biggest lesson today, guys, was how to do the blurs.
We got the hand puppet
blurs on every free throw.
We do.
Yay.
Yeah.
We have that one down really well.
Maybe we can close this out with a go blurs on 3, okay? Do you think you can do that?
I can do that. Do I do my little...
You just gotta say it. Okay. They can't see it. So.
Okay, that's true.
One, two, three.
Go blurs!